Grace, mercy, and peace to you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel just read from John 14. It is a beautiful thing to witness young men and women on Confirmation Day confessing their faith publicly, although that hasn't happened in the service yet, but just imagine that it already has. The flowers are beautiful. They look handsome in their best duds. But what's the really wonderful thing, what the true miracle here is seen in response to the words of Jesus that he says in the gospel today. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Truly is an amazing thing. It is a divine work, and it is what we celebrate today. We also have a lot of fears living in the world because we also see a lot of these special days forgotten. And Jesus continues in the very next verse, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." What's not so beautiful is the statistic that half of confirmands leave the Lutheran Church for box churches or leave the Christian Church entirely. Many congregations see the effect of this, and they wonder where all the middle-aged or younger people are. They propose studies, they assign blame, and they conduct surveys, all to find out what on earth happened. Worrying that we will lose our confirmands amounts to idolatry of self. Yes, really. If only we were clever enough to come up with an attractive youth program, if only we had one of those praise bands that people think the kids like, even though it's secretly them that are fed up with liturgy and hymnody. If only our pastor were a miracle worker who could use his shepherd's crook to draw in more people. And of course, the people that we want to be drawn in, the kind that we think the church needs. But you hear the common thread with all of these ideas. It's our work. It's our work, and we're worrying that our work isn't good enough. Now, it is possible that there are churches where some grumpy Christians could drive people away by being overly judgmental or, you know, shunning people that they see as outsiders. It's also possible that the young woman who makes a bad decision and gets pregnant is shunned by the people who claim to be her church family. But I'm assuming that we're sincere, that we are sincere Christians in a congregation that endeavors to love everyone. So there's another place to look for keeping confirmands in the true faith. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." For the past 2 years, these young men have read, learned, and inwardly digested God's Word. They've regularly and faithfully given up their Sunday afternoons and been immersed in the Word of God. But that's just 2 years of their life. Once they're free from their parents telling them that they have to go to junior confirmation, they might decide that sleeping is preferable, or hanging out with their friends who aren't burdened with religion and have the whole weekend to themselves. The same goes when they move out from the house after they graduate high school. They might go away to school, and the parents will have no control to keep them going to church or not. But if this is your worry, repent. Though we were to drag someone to church or scream into their ear, we would not make one single convert to Christ. The task is beyond the ability of parents pastors, or any Christian. It's a divine work. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is where these beloved words from the Small Catechism really come to bear. I believe I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. These young men are here today because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And yes, as one of them pointed out this morning, he got a ride from his parents too. But the day will come, and the day has come, for us to rely on God the Holy Spirit. Recall that at one time you were in the same position. And here you are today. You drove yourself to church. Others never were in this position of being confirmed as young men. Some were adults. Some never dreamed of being in church. And yet, they're here today too. The other thing to point out is that sometimes people who are confirmed drift away in high school or in college. But remember that they are here too. Our Lord teaches in John chapter 3 how the Holy Spirit works. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Even though on Pentecost the disciples were given a vision of the Holy Spirit's work, now what we see his working as is more like seeing the breeze blow the trees. We don't see a dove descending from heaven. We don't see flames coming down out and lighting on people. But what we do hear is the voice. The voice of the Word of God that goes out. And we see men being born again in the waters of baptism, confessing their faith in the one and only Savior, and remaining true to Him, even unto death. We see boldness and sacrifice when these young men and women put their faith above other things in life and choose to nurture their faith when there are so many other options. And we feel a peace which the world cannot give, which the world tries to give, whether by drugs or alcohol or psychology, but the peace which Jesus Christ gives through his word and his sacraments is a peace which the world can't even touch. And we see that in the peace that our place in heaven has been secured by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. We do not see this the way the world sees, but we know and we confess that it is the Holy Spirit who does all these things. And that's a reminder and a comfort for all of us. When we worry about the state of the Christian church on earth today, in this place, in our country, in the whole world, we long for the days when churches were packed and going out the door. But I can almost guarantee that that was not just the Holy Spirit at work. It was social pressure. It was the thing to do to go to church on Sunday. And it was the fact that there was nothing on TV and that the stores were closed. But in the midst of social pressure, and in the midst of so many distractions, the Holy Spirit's work comes into greater focus today. Our Lord promised, "On this rock, that is the confession that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That promise remains true no matter what year it is, no matter what country we live in, No matter what ideas might be popular today or not, no matter who you meet on the street, the church is the creation of the Holy Spirit. And what he creates is more powerful than anything that's found on earth. So our hope is in the Lord who works all of this, who works this good work. So there's no need to worry, no need to devise plans. Only pray and believe the promise that the Lord gives in Philippians chapter 1. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is most certainly true. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, even unto life everlasting. Amen.